Welcome once again to another edition of On Mic with Jordan Rich. I would be Jordan Rich, and it's always a pleasure as I welcome friends and colleagues and folks in my industry in the voiceover and broadcasting and acting industry to the program. My guest today is a lovely gal and very well known in the Boston market, Candy O'Terry. And Candy's a member of Boston Casting's Elite Media Performance Institute. She teaches voiceover. She's recorded hundreds of commercials throughout her career, has been on radio for many, many years, chiefly WMJX, which is Magic 106.7 here in Boston. And she's the creator and founder of The Exceptional Women Show, has received 43 local and national awards for excellence in women's programming. And in 2015, Candy was named Broadcaster of the Year by the Massachusetts Broadcasters Association. She also does something brilliantly that people like me have no shot at. She's a very fine vocalist. So before we talk with Candy, here's a little sample of her work from an album called Candy O'Terry, Dream Come True.
If there were no words, no way to speak, I would still hear you. If there were tears, no way to feel inside, I'd still feel for you. And even if the sun refused to shine, even if romance ran out, you would still have my heart until the end of time. You're all I
Candy, it's great to see you behind a microphone again.
I gotta say, it felt a little good to put these headphones back on again. How are you?
I'm great. Candy O'Terry and I have known each other as colleagues, not working for the same station, but as colleagues in the market for many, many years. I'm not going to say how many, but you have had a tremendous run, both on the air and off. And we want to talk a little bit about your music and also about your independent work for women and so forth. But congratulations on the many, many years at Magic 106.7.
25 years is a long time to be at one radio station. I did have a great run there, and I can't even tell you how much I loved it.
How did you get the gig in the first place? How did that happen?
Oh, that's a very interesting story. So I'd always been a singer all my life, and I became a single mom, and it became really important for me to work full time. So I went to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. I got three job offers at the end of those 4 months of training, and one of them was to be the temporary assistant to the program director, a guy named Don Kelly, who you and I both know.
Absolutely.
And I got hired, and the woman that I was replacing on maternity leave never came back. So I started out as the secretary to the program director, and ended up rising through the ranks over those 25 years.
Now, Don is a friend. I've known Don for many years as well. Did he know that you were a woman with a lot of talent beyond just secretarial duties right off the bat, or did you have to prove it to him?
You know, I think he actually knew that. And of course, when I went for my interview, I also had this really lame demo tape. of me pretending to be a newscaster, I think, probably doing it very badly. But I think just like any great program director, he could see that I had talent, and he definitely was my mentor.
I'm going to talk about your voice as a voice actor and as an announcer. First question I have is, where does Candy come from? Because there is no detectable accent at all. That's the professional in you. Where are you from?
Well, if you want me to talk like I come from New York, I can.
Okay.
Yeah, both parents from the Bronx, born in New York City, raised in Connecticut, in the Hartford area, where most people don't have much of an accent.
You went
to
the neutral zone.
You get above New Haven. That's right.
You went to the neutral zone.
That's right.
That's great. In terms of your evolution at Magic, start with that. You know, obviously you started out in a sort of secretarial position,
correct,
but you quickly became sort of an all points girl doing everything, a Girl Friday who could also be on the air. Ultimately, you did the mornings, right?
That's right. I ended up doing Morning Drive for 2 years at the end. Boy, did I hate getting up at 3:30 in the morning. That's tough. You've done that.
Done it. No one, I don't care how much money you make, how big a name you might be, enjoys it. I'm sure the people at Good Morning America say, oh yeah, it's great.
Well, you know, and also at Good Morning America, they send a limo your way and you get in the back seat of the limo and you go to the station and then you sit in a chair, they do your hair and your makeup and,
yeah, that doesn't
and
happen
off you go.
It doesn't happen in radio, does it?
No.
No.
I'd end up on a Saturday morning with my pajamas on. But as long as I sounded good, that didn't matter, right?
You've won so many accolades, and I won't embarrass you, but to be named Broadcaster of the Year by the Mass Broadcasters Association a few years ago is a terrific accomplishment. But I really want to talk to you about the show that you're so proud of, Exceptional Women. Here's a radio station that's an FM music station, very highly rated. Generally, they are not known for their, quote, public service campaigns, but this took off like a rocket. Explain to the audience what we're talking
about.
You
know, I tell you, and you just said that I love so much. This is really what I'm most proud of in my career. So we had a meeting of the air talent, the disc jockeys, going into the fall book, the ratings period. Mm-hmm. And Don Kelly, this is back in 1992, said to the air talent, I need people to raise their hands and offer to do some public affairs programming. And nobody raised their hand. And of course, all radio stations have to produce public affairs programming, particularly those that are FM commercial radio stations, music stations, because your license is protected and you need to be sure that you are serving the public interest by creating programming in their interest. So I kind of am in the corner taking notes because I'm the secretary to the program director. And I kind of very sheepishly raised my hand and he said, oh, Candy, would you like to create a show? And I said, sure. And I had no idea what show that might be. So I went home that night and I created a proposal for a program about women doing great things with their lives. And the show was on the air with my dear friend Gay Vernon, who was the news director, who really taught me how to be a good interviewer. She was my favorite. And 23 years and 43 local and national awards for excellence in women's programming.
And you talk about the people you reached and touched the audience-wise, but then the people you got to meet. When we say exceptional, we're not kidding. Run down the list of some of your faves.
Well, I'll tell you a couple of fun stories. Let's start with Mariah Carey, because everybody knows her name, and
yes,
she does have a reputation as being a diva.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something. She was absolutely fantastic for me, but she was 3.5 hours late for the interview.
That's diva-like.
And it took place, she wouldn't come to the radio station, so it took place at the Four Seasons in the penthouse suite.
Mm-hmm.
Her bodyguard was as big as a dining room table. He was absolutely huge. And I had with me, and I always tell this story to my voiceover students and to anyone I speak to about making a first impression. I brought with me 15 long-stem white roses, one for every number one song she'd ever had in her career.
Well, I must congratulate you on that. I would have not gone there.
And I put them in a big box, Winston's, put them in a big box.
Right.
and a big diva bow on the outside of it. So here I am sitting there, and there are all these other guys that are there to interview her too. You know, Maddie in the Morning in Boston is there. Romero, who was at that point on the Rhythmic Station, and John Lander on Mix was there. And they were all like, hey, where'd you get those roses? Give me one of those. And I said, get your hands off my roses, okay? I'm going up to see Mariah.
Yeah.
Well, do you know that not only did she stand there, open up the box, ask for a vase, arrange them herself, but give me the most amazing interview, sharing with me things that you would never, never know about her. And then for years after that, every time she came to Boston, she would say, I want the Rose Lady to introduce me. So if she was at the Wang, if she was at the Garden, she would ask me. So again, it's all about first impressions. But she was fantastic.
That's interesting. You and I have a mutual friend, Sister Bridget Haas.
Oh, my God. Such a great
And there's
lady.
A name that may not be as well known as Mariah Carey, but you talk about exceptional women. I mean, she's a lady who's taught school all over the world. She's helped the poor. She's truly has the calling. And she's become a dear, dear family friend of mine. But, I mean, you meet women like this. And
that's
you,
right.
And the great thing is you were able to expose them to others and show the world what they're all about.
You know, what Gay and I discovered about the women that we interviewed was that they always wondered why we asked them to come on the show. There's a certain humility involved in being exceptional like that, doing things just because they're the right thing to do. I think about what it was like, Jordan, to interview Maggie Bish. And her daughter, Molly's,
right,
body had been found a year or so earlier. They were finally able to put her to rest. And her grief sat on her shoulders. When you were in the room with Maggie, you could feel her loss and her pain. And yet the grace that she had and the ability to tell me what it was like to have someone bring her daughter's shin bone to her and to cradle it and hold it in her arms and to somehow find the courage to go on the next day and then to create a foundation called the Molly Bish Foundation and to go all across the country fingerprinting children, meeting parents, teaching them about stranger danger. That's what I call exceptional.
Mm. That is indeed. And it's something that stays with you, as you just pointed out, and you just imagine what impact it has on the anonymous listener who's out there. And how many awards did that show garner?
43 local and national awards for excellence in women's programming.
Not only that, you guys are amazing. Not only that, but you used to have these exceptional women dinners or luncheons. You could not get a ticket as far as the eye
could
see.
Those were fun times. 13 years in a row, we did the Exceptional Women Awards. And the idea was for Gay and me to take one woman from each category, like, you know, community service, performing arts, healthcare, business, and to really celebrate their story and to introduce them to the audience and to have a little video clip of what they'd done along with a little clip from the interview and then have them address the audience. And it was really very well done. We raised over $100,000 for the fight against breast cancer.
There's a lot of stuff that goes on in our industry that's not necessarily, in terms of content, very positive. But you realize the power of the positivity when you direct your energies to something like that. That Molly Bish story was very moving. I mean, there's so many things you can do with your voice and with the communicative skills you have, right?
Absolutely.
To make the world, I hate to be so corny about this, to make the world somewhat better.
Well, over those 23 years, we interviewed over 600 women. Mm-hmm. And these were women from every walk of life. And each one of their stories was unique. But what made them all so special was their ability to communicate that to the listener. And what I found was, I would humbly say, that when you are an interviewer and you shine the spotlight on someone else and give them the opportunity to tell their story, the greatest gift is the glow that is thrown back to you. Mm. And I don't think a lot of people realize that.
It's all about listening. And I do say this to audiences when I meet them, one of the greatest gifts I ever received from my training and from learning this was the idea that listening changes you in a very interesting and wonderful way. It opens up your heart and mind. And unfortunately, people are so focused on whatever they're focused on, they're not listening to each other or themselves as much anymore. But
one of the things that I've always loved about you as an interviewer is that you listen to the answer of the question that you asked. You're just not so busy getting ready to ask the next question.
So involved in whoever's here. And in your case, we've been friends. So it's a great honor.
Thank you.
We started off, I played a little bit of your music. And of course, you said you were singing at a very early age, right? So formal training in that area or not?
Yes, yes. I always had voice lessons. I was always in the choir. And you may recall a group called Up With People.
I certainly do.
Well, I sang with them.
Wow.
And that was quite an experience for me because I learned how to be a performer. I learned how to be a stage performer. And so I'm one of those kids, wait for it, everybody, that, you know, my dad used to stand me up on the cocktail table. And my parents would have friends over on a Friday night, and he would throw olives to the dog who would catch them in his mouth. We had a Dalmatian named Chessie, and so I was part of the act, okay? So my father would say, "Welcome, everyone. Now Candace will sing Edelweiss," and then he'd toss olives to the dog, and the dog would catch them, and that was the three-ring circus of our family on a Friday night. So I love the stage. I love to sing. I love to perform. And I kind of go to a different place when I'm there.
And musical theater, part of that?
You know, I've always wanted to do musical theater. And by God, I think I'm going to do it in this next decade of my life.
I've been sort of thumbing through my bucket list items. And that's something, not necessarily musical theater, but theater in general.
Yeah.
Radio, I mean, offers
you. Is theater of the mind.
But it offers you an opportunity to pretend a little bit, although you're still yourself. That's why. It's such a great outlet for people who like to perform.
One of the bucket list items that I had was to do some film. And so I had a chance over the last 5 or 6 years to do 3 small feature films. And boy, that's different. That's really, and mostly because I'm not used to being a visual person. I'm so used to being someone who can play with their voice and play with a microphone. But when the camera's on you, that's really interesting. It's very overwhelming.
but as a singer, you understood at an early age, and obviously you've been well trained, but you understand that you really are a storyteller and it's emotion that's coming through that sung song. It's the same thing, though, when you're directing your attention to a guest or when you're hosting an event or when you're on mic as the morning announcer. There's a certain melody to your voice. A certain melody to all voices, but when you're trained as a singer, I think it helps even more. Do you?
I think that being melodic, for especially as a female, is very important on the radio, and certainly being melodic as a singer is crucial. But the thing about being a successful singer, I think, is to let yourself go in the song. I think singers who have too much control are never really able to carry over the song. You know, I think you have to let yourself go. When I had a chance to work with Charlie Farron in the studio, he really is somebody who says, "Well, let's just see what happens," you know, yes. And he'll just let it rip. And I was like, "Whoa," you know, and our duet together was very much like that. It was almost like, "Let's throw spaghetti at the wall and see what happens." We were very lucky.
Yeah, that's really the fun of both being in a business that requires discipline. I'm talking about radio or voiceover. But that also gives you leeway to be creative, especially doing the kinds of things that you're doing now. And we should mention that you've got a lot of things in the fire, including hosting events and your own podcast and certain things. But in the context of being structured, there's that wiggle room. I love the wiggle room. I love the area where you can be yourself.
And, you know, when I left Magic, I really have to tell you, it was very hard to make that decision because it was my comfort place. It was the place where people came to know my name, where I had the Exceptional Women show, where I had the honor and the privilege of making friends with people on the radio, sharing my stories, listening to them tell me theirs. There's a real give and take that happened over those 25 years. So I liken leaving Magic to jumping off of a cliff and just having faith that I would find the ground and somewhere, and I would say to anyone listening to this podcast that somewhere in your story, you're coming to a place where maybe what you've done is a little too comfortable and it's time to jump.
I don't have it with me. I left it in the other room, so well prepared I am. But you presented me with a lovely little card, and I know you know most of it by heart, if not
sure.
all of it. But a lovely little card, and before we close out, and I'm going to play another song from your CD, Candy O'Terry, Dream Come True, to close, because I think that's the perfect way. Tell us about that list of reminders.
Well, a couple of months ago, I was feeling a little bit blue because I was missing so much being able to tell the stories of these exceptional women. And so I sat down with my notebook, and I wrote down some of the lessons that they had taught me. And let me tell you, Jordan, there were so many, 600 women, the lessons fall off the table. But what rose to the top were a couple of things. And they became my 16 life lessons I've learned from interviewing exceptional women. Wake up grateful. Obstacles are opportunities. Stay humble. Wisdom is recognizing a mistake before you make it again. That's a good one, isn't
Very
it?
Very good.
And there are many others in there. And you can go to my website and download your own copy, candyoterry.com. But the last one.
Yep.
At the end of the day, ask yourself this question. Is this a day I can sign my name to? I like that.
I love it. And by the way, Candy, C-A-N-D-Y, O-Terry, O-T-E-R-R-Y.com. And not to say you'll find everything there, because this lady's working and running in very many directions. And whatever's not on the website, you'll hear about it sooner or later. Maybe it'll be added. But you've been just so gracious to join us here and chat a little bit. And sounds like you're enjoying life these days, being a little more independent, having a little more time.
I think sometimes you just have to be brave.
Sometimes you do. And less is sometimes more, no question.
Yeah.
But you gave us a lot. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And we're going to close out with another cut from Dream Come True. This is the lovely and talented Candy O'Terry.
Somewhere. That you dare to dream really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you'll find me. Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. Birds fly over the rainbow. Why? Then oh, why can't die. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where